What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that would be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalen Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jesse.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Jay. And like always, I got something to say. And what I got to say is this. We're going to start off in normal fashion with a scripture and a prayer. Amen. And the scripture coming out of is John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's about Jesus, y'all. Jesus is the reason for this season that we're observing. That's in 5 days. Christmas is coming. Happy holidays to everybody. But we got to remember that Jesus is the reason. It is better to give than to receive. And that, watch, when you serve God's people, God gives you the desires of your heart. Just read your Bibles right there. I'm just saying. But I want you to remember it's the giving season. Give your time. Give your love. Give your appreciation. Act like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Pick up your own cross and be a disciple of Christ. And watch how your life will change. Amen? Amen. Dear Father God, I just thank you for everything that you're doing. God, I ask you to just be in the midst tonight. Let something be said that will break chains, that could be able to help somebody with their relationship with you, God. God, I ask you to be able to let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, I ask you to be in the room tonight, Lord. Let everybody under the sound of my voice be able to start seeing the evidence of you in their lives, God. God, enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio, where we could be able to get to new airwaves, new cities, to new platforms. Expand us to be able to show a great representation of you, Lord. God, I ask you to just be able to touch everyone that's listening now or even later in the podcast, Lord, where they could be able to truly be changed, truly hear your voice, know the purpose that you have on their life, and understand fully what they are purposed to do in your ministry, God. God, I thank you. I glorify you. God, I ask you to be with the people that are lonely this holiday. Be with the people that feel by themselves this holiday. Be with the people that have been going through some things this holiday. Send some people their way. Send some comfort their way. Send some joy their way during these times. Yes, these holiday times, we are joyful family times, but people be going through, God. And God, I ask you just to be able to be there for them. Help them, Lord. Guide them, comfort them. Send some people that could be some peacemakers. so that they can enjoy this holiday and take out all the stinking thinking, all the negative thoughts. And we rebuke the enemy with all of the lies that was told to this person that is by themselves, told to this person that's going through, told to this person that has continued to lose and have lost, that God, you have new grace and new mercy every day. So God, I ask you to just be able to remind your children that they still have purpose, that they have hope, joy, and a future. And I said it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 This is Pastor Jay. Like always, I got something to say. And what I got to say is this. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Anointed Jaylon. Shout out to our Facebook. Shout out to our YouTube, our Twitch, and our new everybody. We on Instagram, y'all. We finally got it on Instagram. So shout out to everybody. Make sure you share, like, subscribe, download the Anointed Radio app. And I'm in absence with a few of my co-hosts. So let me go ahead and shout them out. The first person we have is Mercy Cummin. Make sure you go and check out Mercy Cummin. Second person we have is MTA, the artist, Marvette, the artist. Make sure you go check her out. And then make sure you go check out Simi So Real. Go check her out as well. It's the holidays, y'all. So make sure that y'all go check and see what they're doing, because the beginning of the year about to be dope. But I don't have to introduce this one because she's in the studio. She got some great things coming. And I'm going to bring up onto the stage the great, the awesome Prophetess Tish Shear, y'all.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings. Make sure you check me out at www.fervently creations.com. I'm on all social media platforms as Fervently Creations. So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and even in the clubhouse streets as Fervently Creations. As he said, this year I have a lot of things coming up along with all the other co-hosts as well. But make sure you go to my website, www.fervently creations.com, so you can check out information on the Prison of War in the Mind conference, where we're going to have the gospel showcase. We're going to have the chef competition. We're going to have a kingdom networking gala. We're just going to be doing a lot of things to include mass deliverance. So make sure you check us out on the website, www.fervently creations.com. Right. Pastor Jay, are you froze over there? Pastor Jay's doing the mannequin challenge or the steel challenge or something going on. So with that, while he's waiting for his screen to unfreeze, we're going to bring up our guest today and allow him to go ahead and introduce himself.
There we go. Hey, how we doing, family? Prophetess Tish, Pastor Jay, Mannequin Challenge. Listen, it's such an honor to be here. My name is Micah E. Clark. I'm a recording artist based out of New York City. And you can make sure you get in touch with me, follow me on all my social media platforms. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, YouTube, all at Micah E. Clark. That's MICAHECLARKE. As well as look at my website at MicahEClark.com.
Awesome, awesome. So we're going to start this session off with a little icebreaker question for you. So we're getting ready for the holidays, and we know that this is the time that, you know, grandmas and mamas and aunties and everybody's in the kitchen. What is that one food that you are really anticipating, really ready to just really sit down with your fork, your spoon, your knife or whatever and get into?
Oh, that's easy. Yams. I love yams. Anything with the yam, a sweet potato, I'm gonna eat it. That's an all year round food for me, but I look forward to it even more during the holidays. It hits different when it's cold outside, so definitely yams.
I would say for me, I am I'm very interested, not interested. My favorite is the turkey and dressing, like the homemade turkey dressing. I'm not talking about stuffing. I mean, true cornbread turkey and dressing made moist where you ain't gotta add gravy or any extra stuff. Like that's my take on that. So, so awesome. So why don't you introduce yourself to the people? Just kind of tell them a little bit about who you are, what it is that you do. Just for our ones where it's your first time, their first time meeting you, introducing you. So I'm going to give you the screen and allow you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Micah E. Clark. I'm originally from Miami, Florida. Shout out to 305. I moved to the New York City area. It's been about 18 months now. I've been loving it ever since. I come from a family of music and ministry, as I always say, long list of singers and preachers and evangelists and all that good stuff. So the word is in me, and having a relationship with God was what was instilled in me as a kid. God, you know, the word says, train up a child in the way they should go. When you get old, they won't depart. And I'm not old yet. I'm older. But, you know, the scripture still rings true. And I still recording, been singing all my life. Started on my recording journey like 2017-ish when YouTube and SoundCloud was popping back then. Better Days was the most popular thing from that era. And then I started my artist journey in 2020 with We Need a Word from the Lord, followed by At the Cross in 2022. And then here we are with my latest single now, Oh Holy Night, in 2023.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So with that, just starting off with your music, when did you actually learn that you could just, that was the gifting, that was the place in the kingdom that God has positioned you for us following along with the music industry? I understand coming through that bloodline of having a long list of singers and stuff, but when did you actually say, you know what, this is also the path that God has for me?
I was 5 years old, September 25th, 2009. I was watching my aunt have her album release concert, and I looked up at the stage as she was ministering, and I said, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And the rest has been history, you know.
I have to ask. So, because you said you saw your aunt. What was your aunt singing that inspired you that you said for the rest of your life?
Oh, boy. She flows in a prophetic. So she'll take one song. She was singing a song called He Reigns. It's a song of hers, and she was just going in on it, and I mean, people like laid out, like, this is like real heavy anointed stuff here. And I said, that's what I want to walk in, and the rest has been history.
It's definitely a different feel once you hear someone singing in the prophetic. You know, if people don't realize, sometimes it's a different sound. So I can understand it, 5 year old saying, you know what, hey, this is the anointing that I want to flow with. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I have to ask this question. What was your, outside of your family, singing wise, who really inspired you?
Oh boy. I call them the greats, the League of Legends, the Clark sisters, both corporately and individually. Daryl Coley is a big inspiration. James Moore is a big inspiration. Vanessa Bell Armstrong, Vicky Winans, Donnie McCurkin, Kim Burrell, all those, the League of Legends. They have inspired me. And, you know, when I was going through puberty and had to learn my voice all over again, they're my vocal coaches. And, you know, they have contributed unknowingly to who I am today. So I'm super thankful for the opportunity to experience them and for technology, because for a lot of this stuff, I was not alive for. Being able to play this back with technology and with YouTube and listening to all these records, it really helped develop who I am as a singer and as an artist.
See, I was going to ask that because you just said in 2009, you was five. Daryl Coley James, man, I'm like, these people was they were for my time.
And I had to hurry up and do the math because I was like, hold on, he's just like, a little bit older than my daughter. Like, I felt very old once he said that. Like, okay,
wow. I was calculating. I said, oh, you got an old soul for real, because you didn't say Kiki Shear, Tone, or you know, Kirk. You know, that was during your when you was around.
And you know, shout out to Kiki and the Tone, because they also have contributed to it. But I take more of my flavor from the older set. So
okay. Know,
it's who I am, it's what I gravitate to.
Okay, so I gotta ask this question. I know you have a single coming out. How did that come about? How did this just all come and unfold into this project?
Yeah, so my single actually came out at the top of November, All Holy Night. I got connected with my manager. Shout out to Liz Black.
Shout out to Liz. Shout out to Liz out there.
Radio, period. And I met her a couple months beforehand, and you know, it was a divine connection. It was getting close to the holidays, and we, you know, prepping to get that first single out in this spotlight. And I really was prepared to do something for 2024. But Liz was like, no, let's just do something for Christmas. Let's just get it out there. And it was a tight squeeze because we had to have everything in by a certain date. But we talked about it that Sunday. That Tuesday, I was in the studio with David Bratton, who I call Mr. Every Praise. And I got in the studio with him and with David Darlington, who was another legend, Grammys for days. And, you know, we got in the studio and we made magic, and what came out of it was Oh Holy Night, and it has taken off for me. I'm so thankful that, you know, Liz has the integrity and the connections that made this a little easier for me coming into it. Versus just starting with absolutely no connections in the city that you just moved to. So it really was a blessing.
So I got to ask this question. What was one takeaway that you would take away from this whole experience?
Oh, let's see. Take risks. Being a singer, I'm a perfectionist. I don't like to make mistakes, but I think Michael Jackson said this is flesh and blood and not machine. And so, you know, mistakes can be inevitable, but because I don't like to make mistakes, I could try to be on the safe side when it comes to singing. And David was like, nah, you're going to hit these notes and hold them out, and you're going to go for it whether you like it or not. So go for it. And that really developed a sense of confidence in me to be able to experiment and to use all of the gift that God has given me. Another thing is networking and relationships are extremely important. And I would even take it a step further, is to learn the people behind the scenes, you know, whose names may not necessarily be in glitter and you know, stage lights, but they're the ones who, you know, are the gatekeepers. They're the ones who are going to help you and build you and put you out there. And they're the ones who have access and ownership of these rooms. Learn the promoters, learn the radio personalities, learn the PRs, learn the program directors, learn all these people behind the scenes, because they're the ones really, once if you have them on your side, you're set. That's been a big takeaway for me throughout this whole process.
I think you said something that was very, very important that any indie artist that's listening should take a listen to. Networking, you know, networking is very important. It could be your lifeline, or it could be your lead to unsuccessful attempts. And one thing that I could definitely say that I like that you said that is that you paid attention to who's who. You know, sometimes people will walk by the person who could put you on just because they saw the person that was in the front over there, and you don't even know that the person who put them on the stage is standing right here and nobody knows who their name is. I learned that a hard way, but one thing I could definitely say is that was some wisdom. That was definitely wisdom on there. And I wanted to say is, what is one thing that you can say with this project is going to kind of I guess you could say, lead into your next project? What's some things that you would say that is going to really kind of jump you up? Like, did your confidence of certain notes, are you now more confident? Are you now more like bold when it comes down to certain things in the studio? Are you more comfortable in the studio? Like, what do you think that you've took away from now this project going into, because I know this ain't the only project you're going to do. So what do you feel like you're going to take away from this project going into your next project?
Yeah, definitely that confidence. Trusting the Lord and trusting the gift that he's given me. Just going for it and seeing what happens. The best singers are the riskiest singers. So, you know, being able to go for it, go in confidence, trust that you're going to land it. And really just being completely authentic. Sometimes being a singer, and specifically for me, I hear things a little differently when it comes to vocals and to sounds. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people may try to limit that to be more commercially, you know, appealing to everyone. But I've learned that there is a niche for everybody. And so just being authentic, embracing the whole sound that God has given you. You know, if you can do the scat, do the scat. If you can do the run. If you can hit the note, hit the note. Do it intentionally, do it tastefully. But, you know, do it as God has given you the gifting too. So definitely in my next project, I believe it's going to push my limits even more. And it's going to put me in a whole different place, just mentally and vocally. And I'm excited for what's going to come out of it. I really am.
How important is it for you being young, as we kind of established earlier, but just being young in ministry, but also knowing your identity, not allowing those that come into in the studio or so that may be older than you, may have more time in industry than you, you know, to take away from your natural identity, the authenticity of who you are, who God called you to, and actually flowing authentically in you. How essential or how vital is that, and how do you maintain that?
It's very vital. And I had to learn actually my identity. It took a couple of years for me to learn that. I had to learn that quick, I guess. Most people learn that around my age now, but I had to learn that rather early on in life. Like I said, coming from a family with, you know, big musical roots and big ministry roots, you kind of think that that's the way that they are, that is the way that you should be. And that's the path that you should follow, which it is. The issue for me was I thought that I had to copy them. And I had to learn that there is a place that God has made for Micah that only Micah can do. Just like there is a place for, you know, my aunt or my uncle, or my granddad, or my father, or my mother, that only they can occupy. And so I had to learn that for me. And once I learned that, that's when I started to develop my sense of style, my sense of singing. And going into the studio, it allows people to not only respect your gift, because now they see that you have an understanding of it. And with understanding comes mastery. And so they're able to respect you because you understand your identity. And then they're able to, at least the ones who are made to work with you, know how to work with you. Not every producer is for you. Not every song is for you. But those who God has divinely orchestrated to be with you, they've already been equipped to handle the gift that you already have. So it's very important, and just being true to who God has called you to be, he'll put everything else in play.
So I have to ask this, because you brought, so how can someone stop? Because, you know, one thing when you're taught, one thing I've learned is, like, when as a singer and you're taught by a certain person, there's some mannerisms, there's some isms that the previous person that taught you, you kind of do a little, you're scatting like them, or you're doing runs like them, or you're doing things like that. So, because a lot of artists will say that that's hard. like, especially if you're taught under a person, you could be like, oh, I know you were taught under that person because I hear them in you. But finding your identity as a singer, how did you do that process for yourself?
Oh, boy. I looked at it as developing a bag of tricks. So for me, studying all these greats, I did it intentionally. One, because, you know, as I get older, they get older. And so I want to be able for that sound and that soulfulness to still be around. And I used it as a way to develop a bag of tricks so that at any given moment, I can just pull something out of a hat. But the way that I was able to find where I was simply just through trusting the process that the Lord had me on, and seeing how people responded to that. There's a certain way that people respond to authenticity. And, you know, I always remember my parents, you know, and my family would say, Micah, sometimes you do too much. This is when I was younger. Micah, sometimes you do too much. But when you just sing, it's like something just shifts. And I was so frustrated coming up, especially during puberty when I was studying all these greats and still not understanding where I fit in. Because I was like, I was a kid, you know, I was a soprano. I can't hit those notes now. That's not me. And I thought that people were trying to hold me to how I was as a kid. And it really wasn't until I got older and just kept going through the process of life and continuing to minister and to sing and to spend time with God privately that it really came out. And really, if I'm being truthful, it really came out during my worship moments with God on my own. When it wasn't a microphone, when it wasn't a stage, when it wasn't lights, it was just me and God, no trying to impress anyone. I would just sing. And I would feel things shift in my own room. And that's how I was like, oh, maybe it's that just me. So I thought it was just me. And then I went on, you know, when I would get before the people and that private moment would become public, and people would confirm and have the same reactions to it as I did privately. So it allowed me to distinguish, okay, what is Micah's sound? And then what's the bag of tricks that I have and when to pull them out and when to just say, hey, Micah, just sing. And over the course of, you know, the months and the years, it's developed into having both equally balanced to where I can just sing as I feel function to.
That's good.
That's awesome.
I like that you mentioned that you have a private worship, your private time. And so so once you actually come out and you're singing for everyone else, it's not a show it's not a performance. You're actually doing what you naturally do in your private time, your private worship time. With gospel music and the genre of gospels have so many different levels to it. What genre of music, once you're in your private time, you know, whether it's your private praise time, your private worship time, or you just, what is the genre that you actually lean to or are kind of go to once it comes to gospel music?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's a genre. For me, it's just music. However, my spirit wants to communicate that to God or however the Lord wants to download that into me, is how it comes out. I've always made myself to be versatile, and that whatever sound it is, I'm flexible as long as God is in it. And so that's how I do it.
So I have to ask this question. You ready for this, Micah?
I'm ready.
What is one of the goals that you have as a singer for yourself? Because I know you said the main word as a singer that most of the singers I know say, I'm a perfectionist. So being that you said that, a lot of times we put goals for ourselves. Like, I want to get to. So for you, what does that look like for you? Like, is it getting more music out? Is it getting more people to know who you are? Is it performing more? Is it working on your craft of writing? What is those goals for you?
Yeah. I want my music to outlive me.
Ooh.
Some of the baddest singers that we know of today. The only reason that I know of the greats is because their music has outlived them, right?
Right.
And I think gospel currently, not everyone, but some, a certain group of songs are very to the age. And so the problem is they don't become relevant when times and trends shift. But when we look at the greats, you know, just throwing out there, like you brought the sunshine, that was the 80s. And yet I still know it word for word, and I was born 20 something years after it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the level of timelessness that I want to achieve. And that's the goal for me, is to be timeless. So that when I'm dead and gone, that my music is still ringing, that people are still as eager to learn it, you know, 50 years from now as they are now, and for still to be relevant even when I'm gone.
How do you see gospel music shifting in the next 5 years?
Boy, that's a good question. Gospel music in the next 5 years, what year is this, 2023? Gospel music in the next 5 years, I see it shifting. I actually see it dividing in a sense. I see it being more of a separation between those who are really in it for ministry and those who are in it just for it being music. I think you'll be able to tell the difference between, okay, these people are serious about it versus this is just a thing that I do.
That's good.
You trying to preach, sir? You said, I see in 5 years a great divide for Jesus and the people who ain't for Jesus. We see the Pharisees and the discipleship. You know, that's a great thing to, I want to expound on that a little bit, because you kind of see that now, because like, right. Give you a perfect example, you know, in ministry, you know, I call it ministry, even though it's industry, industry and ministry is not the same.
How I say it's different. Just because they sang gospel music don't mean that they're ministry. They can still be very much industry.
Very industry. And one thing that I've realized is, test the spirit by the spirit is serious in these days and time, because, you know, when you listen to music, I think Pastor Montel Jordan said this. He said, you know, the music is the music that you are, what is it called? It's like your worship leader for the week, who you're letting into your spirit all week, and you're just letting it go into it, and it could really influence your mood, your motive, your what you're doing. And you have to test the spirit nowadays due to the fact that it's sad to say that there's some gospel. I thought I would never hear nothing like this before. I'm still bewildered. There's gospel people that don't even deal with ministry in as a whole. They don't go to online ministry. They don't go to church in person. They don't even deal with church. They go to church and use it as a, what Jesus flipped tables for, mostly to make money. And that's the thing where you're like, what you said, went from what doing ministry and doing something that they just know they're good at.
Right.
And that is, that's watch it, sir. That's prophetic right there. Because, you know, before the body of Christ could unite, we have to figure out the places that ain't right. And that's going to cause divide. That's going to cause people saying, you ain't this and you ain't that. And at the end of the day, for somebody to get better when they're sick, they got to identify their sick part and the weaknesses. And in the body of Christ, we got some weak parts and we got some sicknesses. But I believe that God is still on the throne. He's going to make it where a new shift is going to happen. And people really for him is going to actually get the accolades that they deserve. And the people that ain't him, will be exposed by it, and they'll be able to come back and actually see, you know what, I see the error of my ways, let me go back. Because as Christians, we ain't just to expose, just to make somebody feel bad. It's to be like, hey, I guess it's more of accountability. Hey, you're doing it the sleazy way because you think it's the easy way.
Yeah.
But it's time to do it God's way. See, that was dope. I'm putting that in the song.
But you know what, Jay, you said something earlier that I wanted. Once it comes to the industry, you have a lot of ones that, how once Mike was saying, he has his own personal worship time, and there's a lot of people that are in industry and they don't take that personal time to actually do it. And so who they listen to, or how you were saying earlier, you know, who they minister, who they allow minister to them all week is what they actually release over into the atmosphere of the church. And so those that are in the music ministry have to understand that they also play a key part in setting the atmosphere. So if they're listening to City Girls and they're listening to whoever else are, you know, is out there all week, and then they can't come in on Sunday, and then you expect them to be able to set the atmosphere. They can't really set the atmosphere that way. The anointing is not up on them like that. You know, they just have they have the ability, they have a talent, but the anointing is not there. And it's just like how you could tell the difference with some people with singing. You know, you could tell someone that's singing from their soul, singing from being led, or singing from the spirit, versus someone that they just know how to sing. And so I don't think that people realize that, you know, those, and how you were saying, Micah, that it's going to come to where it's going to be a great exposure, to where it's going to be exposed to where, you know, more people are going to start realizing, hey, some of these people that are in the gospel industry, they're just in the industry. They are not in ministry. They don't care about actually what they're singing. They just have a gift. They just have a talent. And so, and you know, it is going to be a great exposure. So, but Jade, like you made a very good point.
And I think Micah, with you being younger, because you're a generation behind me, one thing I could say is that for your generation, because we were the generation before the internet, we were the generation with the internet, that the difference is your generation has the knowledge. Yeah. You know, some people, you know, they have not because they asked not. They didn't receive it. They didn't have the knowledge to how to make a way. So they just did by you know, tradition and religion. I believe that your generation is going to be able to make the change to be able to unite it, because it's not so caught up in religious practice. What I mean by that, a lot of people were so caught up into how we go. Like, I'm Baptist, so I know I have a lot of Baptist ways in me. And so those things can sometimes coddle you in the growth, because you're saying, well, this is how we did it. This is how we, but I believe that the new generation behind us, especially coming up in gospel, is going to make a new way, a new tradition, a new way of being able to show God unapologetically. And we're gonna see a big difference. It'll be a shift. Because one thing that I like that you said is that, yeah, you worship, you have a relationship with God. That means a lot. That means you're accountable to God. That means you bring forth your issues to God. That means you don't hide nothing from God. That means when you're really going through it, you're really talking to God, meaning that you're showing your own testimony. So I think it's dope. So going back to what else I think is dope, you know what else I think is dope? Let's talk about what else I think is dope. I think what's dope is that you're about to have a music video drop at 10 o'clock, which is in like a few hours, I want to say. What time is it? Oh, it's not a few hours. It's about like 20 minutes. It's about 20
minutes. Yeah, it comes out at 10:30. So we got
about 50 minutes, close to an hour.
Got close to 50 minutes. 10:30 Eastern Standard. So I want y'all, we're going to take a quick break. Give us a break, you know, because we've been out here talking to all y'all. And y'all can go ahead and share, like, subscribe, everybody that's watching on all the different various platforms. Make sure you go follow Micah E. Clark with the E, y'all. Very how it's looked on there is how it's spelled. So make sure you guys go follow him. Make sure you guys follow LV Anointed Radio where you're watching it live. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on my YouTube people. And we're going to go ahead and watch a little promo of the music video. I want y'all to get ready. Are y'all excited? Y'all getting ready? We're excited. Want y'all to know we're about to watch it right now. We're going to come back and we're going to have Micah talk about it. All right. So with that being said, the promo. Y'all like that promo? I like that promo because I like that sweater that Micah had. You saw that when he did this? I look like I'm doing it. I was like this. He had that white sweater like he was the angel off of what's that movie with Denzel and Whitney Houston?
Preacher's wife.
When the angel came, he was he had that white sweater on. Sweater out there. That's what I'm talking about. So go ahead and tell us about this music video. First of all, it looked like y'all did the music video in New York. So it looked like it was clips of power in the background. I saw the bridge. I saw Tom and them. Tyreek and them was in the background. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about the process about this music video, how it was for you.
Yeah, the process was definitely an experience. Obviously, you see it's done at night, and at night in December is very cold in New York. So I don't have on enough clothes to accurately show how cold it was when we were getting those shots. But I'm blessed that I currently go to, in addition to ministry and to work and life, I'm also currently a student at the School of Visual Arts in Manhattan. And I was able to get some friends who are in the film side of things, and we got together and we came up with something great, honestly, for this music video. Shout out to Jermaine Wade who helped me with the camera work, and between me, him and my mind, we had got something pretty good.
It was awesome.
I'm excited. You know, 10:30 my time is about like 7:30 my time, so you know it's still early on this side of the earth, so I get to watch without being sleepy. But I need all y'all New York people, East Coast people, to wake on up, wake your game up, everybody. The music video coming out soon. If you could stay up and watch football, you could stay up and watch Micah's music video. All right, hello. I'm just saying. So hey, I'm really excited for you. Like I really like that you started off. Because there's a lot of young people your age, and gospel is the last thing. I'm going to tell you this. When I was your age, you know what I said to myself? I said, I know, God, that you're going to use me one day, but wait till I'm old like Uncle Phil with the Uncle Phil haircut and about like 40, 50 something. And then I'll give my life to you. Let me be the prodigal son at the moment and just go in the streets because I belong to the streets. That's what I said to him. And I got a car accident. So he was like, no. He was like, I ain't done with you. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, Jesus. You ain't got to do all that. You're so extra. But one thing is that how do you maintain the focus? Because being so young, there's so many temptations. There's so many distractions. There's so many things that you go through just based off of your age group. Because I can tell you right now, I'm gonna try this question. How many friends do you have that's your age?
Not many.
I knew that answer before I answered. I asked you that. So
I'm reading Liz's comment.
Liz says she wants them. That's good. That's a great thing. One thing I would just say is this, and this is just encouragement for being young, because I was a young preacher and I didn't have many people that was a young preacher with me. So I had to learn how to have my own relationship with God and learn how to balance myself. Right. Because you still got a lot of learning, like Big Mama will say, you know, just keep living because you'll learn some new things every day. But the main thing is just remember what you're doing it for. Because if you remember what you're doing it for, all the other stuff will be that be just buzz, like a fly buzzing by you. Like, man, I ain't with that. I just want to stay encourage you with that. Go ahead, Prophet Stitch.
I would necessarily say it is a young or an age issue, because even at my age, at 41, I struggle with finding that those godly type of relationships that I desire to have. I've went through seasons, and I don't know if that's just the prophet in me or what, but I went through my seasons to where I cried for those type of friendships, cried for people that would just want to sit on the phone and talk about the Bible, or people that want to get together. And it's like, no, you know, we're not playing cards, or we're not drinking and stuff, but can we just get together and just worship? I love to worship. I can't sing, that's not the gift he gave me, but I love to worship. I am a true worshiper. And so, but even at my age, I think, you know, we have to realize we walk down that narrow path. And once you walk down that narrow path, it's not that many that is willing to walk alongside of you. And then once you are doing certain things or so, then that's once they still will tell you, hey, you're doing too much, or don't take all that, or you can watch something else, and it's okay to watch this. And it's like, it might be okay for you, but it's not the desire that I have. I don't desire to do these things. I don't desire to participate in these conversations. Once we get together, I don't desire to sit and just complain about my spouse and hear about you complaining about your spouse. I desire to be in atmospheres where we're talking about God, or we're talking about mindset shifts, or we're talking about growth, or we're talking about how we get into the next level, are we cheering one another. So even with that, I really can't say it's one of those things that get easier in time, that it gets easier with age, because you know we do walk that narrow path, and not everyone is willing to come down that road that we actually walk in and still not compromise either. And so, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes it's not even a limit to age anymore. It's just, it can be a lonely walk. It can be a lonely journey.
It can. And you know, one thing a bishop told me when I was younger, and I think I was in my early 20s when he told me this, he said, sometimes God blocks people from being your friend because he don't want them to influence. And that's in the church and out the church.
Yeah.
Because God is very particular about you. And once you realize how God is particular about you, he don't want all these people having a hand on you, having an influence on you. Because I could tell you right now, when I got into ministry and became a preacher, I wanted preacher friends. I saw people doing preacher-thons. I was like, throw me the mic. And I was just on the lonesome. And God really got to a point where he was like, I didn't want you to be like them. I didn't want that influence of what they were doing. I want you to be influenced by me only. Because then sometimes we get caught up in mannerisms and ways and in your circle. Because the realest thing I've ever heard out of a quote was that you could tell somebody future by their circle. And that is deep.
And I had to learn that as a kid, which I guess why it's a little easier to manage now. But as a kid, I always had the issue of, obviously, I didn't become an old soul overnight. I kind of was born that way. and I always had the issue of fitting in with people in my age group. I was just, you know, a bit further in the maturity spectrum, or they didn't necessarily value the things that I valued even as a kid. And so I always had that issue. And then to make it more exacerbated, my parents put me in schools where I was the only Black kid in the class. So just emphasizing that feeling of kind of being the only one. And I'm thankful for that now, even though it can be frustrating at times. But it made me be okay with being the only one. And seeing where God has taken me and kind of how quickly he's taken me there. He's very particular in who is in my circle and who has a connection with me and who does it, because you can tell where people are going based off of who is in their circle. And God has really been very intentional with the people that he's brought into my life. So now I'm at a point where, you know, I understand people's roles and people's places and whether they're there to really be there or if they're just there for a season or there for even a conversation. And like I tell Liz, I cut people off very quickly because I just don't have the time. And cutting them off does not necessarily mean that I'm just blocking all contact with them, but I'm just cutting the string that's attached to me. So you can still be cordial, you can still be respectful, you can still be there, you know, if they really need it. But the string and the cord that's attached, for the sake of where God is bringing me to, and for my sanity and for my peace, for me not to be cluttered with all these different problems and issues and people and personas and just all this mess that can come with people. You know, God has given me a peace about being the only one now that really took some time to embrace. And I only embraced it as I got older.
Yeah, I think like once we get into our transitional phases in life or so, we'll go through the pruning stages. And sometimes the pruning happens with people as we begin to elevate and God begins to shift us. And so sometimes it's uncomfortable, but we have to learn how to be comfortable. We have to learn how to embrace that uncomfortable period of transitioning, because sometimes once we go to new levels, some people can't go with us, or and it doesn't mean that there is anything necessarily bad with them. It just means that we're on two different paths at this moment. And if we continue to walk down this path together, then one of us is going to be out of the will of God, because we can allow their voice to carry more weight, more influence, more power in our own ear than what it is with God. And so even once the pruning of the people around us start to become, we have to still not look so deep on the surface level, at the surface level, but go deeper and say, you know what, you know, it was a bigger reason why, and it's bigger than what I can see. But right now, I still have to stay focused. They have to stay focused, and I can't get caught up in the why we're not connected anymore, or the why it was just because it was for a reason bigger than what we can actually see at times. And so sometimes we get so caught up in the flesh of the matter, it versus focusing on the spirit and realizing that, you know, we're here for a kingdom purpose, you know, that this is just transitional. Our time here is transitional. So all of us are here for a greater purpose than what we even see right now. As you were saying, you know, you want your music to outlive you. And so understanding, hey, I'm here for a greater purpose, and I have to continue to press forward, and I have to continue to keep my ears and my spirit free so I can get the downloads, receive the downloads, so that way my purpose that God has called me for, because it's your songs that will be left in the earth that's going to be able to cause that transformation in people. And so we can't get focused. We can't get focused on who's not around and who's leaving and who's walking out and who God has disconnected. Learning the season of people and knowing when to cut them off and when to shift to the next level.
And you know, one thing that a very successful person said is your team is what keeps you elevating. And if that circle, that team that you have isn't helping you in your elevation moment, then you got to reevaluate. And that's one thing I've learned myself with everything, is just sometimes when God puts you through moments, just watch and be silent. Meditate on God's word and pray, and God will give you through it, and he'll put the right people in and keep the team going, because it's an ever growing thing that we and our daily life, from best friends to friends to people in business that we're in business with, things always are going to change. Things are going to shift. Things are going to be from different seasons. But as long as you're in tune with God, you're already going to see it, because he never surprises. He always gives you the insight. So one thing I want to go ahead and just say is, tell everybody, lastly, before we close, where what's coming up new, where they could get the album. They need to stay up in a few minutes because the music video about to premiere at 10:30 Eastern time. So I need y'all to go ahead and wake it on up. So go ahead and tell everybody all the updates about you, where they could find you, and all the stuff that you want them to know before we part.
Yeah, definitely. So make sure you definitely catch that music video premiere happening on my YouTube channel, Micah E. Clark, Oh Holy Night. While you at it, once you finish watching the video, make sure you go to whatever music platforms you like to listen to, whether that's Pandora, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, all that good stuff. Download it, buy it. You can stream it too, but you know, streaming is a whole other conversation. But make sure you go get it and add it to your repertoire, add it to your holiday playlist. Really let it set the mood and set the atmosphere for you and for your family. I'm planning on working on some new stuff in the top of the year. So make sure you stay tuned. 2024 is going to be a big year. I'm already seeing it. I'm already believing God that it will be. And I'm excited for all of you to be a part of me on this journey. Please make sure you do follow me. Unfortunately, numbers are important in this day and age. So make sure you follow me on all my social media platforms, Micah E. Clark, M-I-C-A-H-E-C-L-A-R-K.
Amen. Y'all go follow him. Hurry up. What you waiting for? Go follow him. I need y'all to go follow him like now, like yesterday. Oh, shoot. Liz, you want me to give a preview of the preview of the preview? Okay, I could do that. I got you. So we're going to play a little bit before we head out. We're going to play a little bit of Micah E. Clark performing Oh Holy Night. We ain't going to play too much because we don't want to get banned. So I got to do like Liz where you play a little bit and then you stop. And then we're going to go from there. So everybody, Micah E. Clark performing Oh Holy Night. Check it on out. Good 30 seconds of
Oh Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared. And the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world's rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
I can't kill him. I can't kill him. I can't give him everything. I can't give him everything. Go watch the music video. Go watch the music video at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I can't give y'all everything. Y'all thought y'all gonna get it for the free? No, this is still a business. Y'all still need to go follow him and go watch the music video and go stream it and go do all that stuff. With that being said, I want to say, Micah, I enjoyed you on the show tonight. And I really appreciate that you came, because you came and spent the most valuable thing with me. You know what that was?
Time.
Time. So one thing I wanted to say is just I appreciate you. I know you're going to continue to do great things. Like I tell everybody that come on Anointed Radio, we family now. So yes. So when you got something new coming out and anything else, we definitely going to have you back on here. This ain't the only time. This ain't the first, and this ain't the only. Yeah. I can't wait to watch how your career just explodes and how God is going to use you. And I just want you to know we got your back.
Big shout out to Liz Black as well.
Yeah, Liz.
Listen, shout out to Miss Liz. Miss Liz out there. Miss NYC.
Listen, I'm so thankful for you, Pastor Jay, and Prophetess Tish. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't take it lightly. I don't take it for granted. I'm thankful for you and for you allowing artists to have a space to talk to, you know, the platform and the sheep that the Lord has allowed you to have. And I don't take it lightly at all. I'm really thankful and really appreciative for you and for people like you, genuine people, kind-hearted people, people who are really serious about God and serious about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. And I'm thankful for your support. I thank you for having my back. I definitely have y'all's, and this won't be my last time. So I'm looking forward to coming back.
Oh, yeah, you're going to come back. And you're going to get, oh, shucks, you got me all emotional. But with that, everybody, make sure we go ahead and y'all go ahead and follow Anointed Radio, LV Anointed Radio on my Instagram. How y'all like this Instagram tonight, y'all? Y'all liked it that? All right, well, if you like it, go ahead and follow the page so you can watch it again, because next week we're going to be on Instagram again. So all my Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, make sure you share, like, subscribe. And, you know, I forgot to say, there's two things I got to say. This is what happens when you get your own radio station, because you could say what you want. I could do what I want. I could do what I want. Happy birthday to my sister, Jasmine Calhoun Brown, out there. She out here turning a big 3-5. I want to shout out to my sister. See, I can shout out my sister because it's my radio station. I can do what I want to. If anybody wants to say something, it is what it is. No, I'm just playing. So happy birthday to my sister, Jasmine. Appreciate you, sis. Enjoy your birthday. And I have an announcement, y'all. I made it to 1 million streams on SoundCloud for Can I Get a Little Grace? I am juiced, y'all. Y'all don't understand how juiced I am. I saw that on Monday, and it was I was tearing because I was like, man, that's God has really did amazing things. First was my first 1 million SoundCloud plays on Spirit Flow Through Me, in the half of this year, and then the second half to end the year with another 1 million streams on SoundCloud. SoundCloud is my platform. I'm about to put some unreleased music out there for all my fans because obviously they like me on SoundCloud.
I didn't know it was still popping. I thought it had died off a couple of years ago.
I guess because you can still listen to free music. You know, one thing I realized with my streams on Spotify, I was like, everybody ain't got Spotify and everybody ain't got Apple Music because you got to pay for it. But SoundCloud free, just like YouTube. So yeah. I was just like, that was my strategy. I just gave game to half y'all artists out there that was listening to what I just said. Everybody could get a SoundCloud. Everybody's not going to pay for a Spotify or Apple Music. So if you want to market your music, go where everybody's at. YouTube's free, SoundCloud free. I'm just telling you, give me the game. You ain't got to listen to me. I just got 2 plaques for 1 million SoundCloud plays. I'm just saying. Obviously, it worked. So out there, I just want to say thank you to all the people that supported this song. Prophetess Tish played Can I Get a Little Grace for like 24 hours straight when she picked me up in Atlanta. And it's crazy because people don't know that when you're an artist and you do a song, you already sick of your song by that song come out because you recorded it like in the studio 50,000 times. So hearing it, you love it, people love it. But then you'd be like, man, bro, can I hear some?
So, hold on. That's a disclaimer. I do that like. So I didn't know until I picked him up. I did not know that I'd be boosting people's like plays or whatever, because that's the thing that I do. Like, Holy Spirit to give me a song and I will listen to that one song all day. Like, and I will play that song on repeat. And that's because I'm like, hey, God gave it to me. Apparently, it's a message that he needs to get in my spirit. And I replay it. And so when Jay was just like, first of all.
Listen, we are thankful for people like you. If everybody was like you, we wouldn't have the issue where some secular artists are taking over some of the charts. You know, if we had more people do it in gospel. But that's another conversation. Amen. Hey, It's God.
You better preach, young man. But with that being said, we ain't gonna hold y'all. I know it's late, but make sure y'all go ahead and get the music video. Go stream his music video tonight. And everybody else, make sure that you guys
tomorrow.
Yes. See, there you go, Micah. She's gonna play it on repeat.
Thank you.
So make sure you guys add his song "Oh Holy Night" to your playlist for Christmas. Let him be the next Mariah Carey. Even though I was amazed that Mariah Carey ain't doing that well this holiday go around. They said the person that is beating her is a whole secular person. Well, she's secular too, but it's not even Christmas music. Isn't that crazy? They said the song "Surround Sound" is beating all of her Christmas songs as the number one song. That's not even a Christmas song going up right now, and it beat Mariah Carey. So you know, that's interesting.
Every year that Mariah defrosts, people like to get new things, and the attention span of the people decreases every year. So I think people are kind of getting a little worn out. They understand that all they want, all she wants for Christmas is us. They're a little tired of that. They got to get something else. They want something else now for Christmas.
I actually banned a song from the house. So
you're not the only one. I will not.
Like, I don't want to hear it this year. So we're gonna be listening to Micah tomorrow on repeat.
See, there you go. And y'all could go listen to Micah too. So I want you guys to make sure you guys have a great holiday, because I won't see you till after Christmas, y'all. Because Christmas is like in 5 days. Like, it's amazing. Like, that's crazy how fast Christmas is. So I won't see y'all until after Christmas, and it'll be the second day of Kwanzaa. Harambe, my brothers and sisters. And I hope y'all celebrate Kwanzaa. If you don't, you could celebrate it this year. But Christmas is in a few days. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and just know that your present from Pastor Jay is in my mind. Because I didn't buy you one. Just let you know that. But a prayer. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. Much love from the Anointed Radio family, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace. Oh.